Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone is having a fantastic Friday. It's actually nice and sunny out in Florida right now. A little overcast, but it's not raining. It's cooled down some. And how are you doing today, Ted?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. It's a beautiful day out here today. It's cooling off nice at night right now, so it's really a pretty time of the year here in Florida. Little bit warm during the day still, but as far as I'm concerned, this is the day the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. I want to start off with a little bit of a story that's, to me, is absolutely ludicrous, but it's a light story, so I wanted to start with that instead of starting with what's going on over in Vegas still. For those of guys that are my age, we used to watch a show called Dukes of Hazzard. And that was a show when they had a Dodge Charger also back from the 60s, and they used to chase and run away from bad guys. It was kind of like a slapstick comedy show. I never really was a big fan of it, but I did watch it a few times because they had a girl on the show that used to wear these really short shorts, and she was really pretty back then. I forgot her name. Catherine something Bach, I think. And what was interesting is, it was just kind of a goofy show. But what was interesting is the Dukes of Hazzard star now has been charged with assaulting a girl who's 16 years old. Now, this Duke Hazard star has to be at least my age, if not older than me, so he's probably in his 60s. And he was charged with assaulting a girl, and now he's going to have to stand trial. Now, I thought, oh my gosh, what did he do? He's accused of groping a girl. Now, here's how twisted Hollywood is. Here's how twisted the news is. Here's how twisted our legal cycle is. And here's how whacked out all of these people are. This is out of Massachusetts. A former star of the 1980s television show, The Dukes of Hazzard, who is accused of groping a female cast member of a musical he was supposed to appear in, now faces charges. He indecently assaulted a 16-year-old girl in Massachusetts. Court records show that Tom Wopat is charged with assaulting the girl and a woman in July while rehearsing for the musical 42nd Street at the theater in Boston. The charges were made public this Tuesday. The police report says, now listen to me, Wopat allegedly hit the girl's buttocks with his script and said, nice butt. That's what he did. He took a sheet of paper, he tapped her on the butt, it said nice butt, and now he's being charged with assault. We've got pedophiles running all over Washington, D.C. We've got pedophiles going everywhere. I mean, we have like the entire planet being run by pedophiles and whack bags, and they're charging this guy because he tapped her on the bottom and said, nice butt. He's pleaded not guilty to groping the woman. He's the one who played Luke Duke on the Dukes of Hazzard. Neither Wopat's attorney nor his publicist has responded to the request seeking comment. So now, this is just absolutely ludicrous. Now, here's the thing. Should he have touched her with a sheet of paper on the buttocks? No, he shouldn't have done that. Should he be charged criminally for assault of a 16-year-old because he touched her on the butt with a sheet of paper? No. He should apologize to her and said, I shouldn't have touched you on the butt with a sheet of paper. That's what he should have done. And this whole thing should have been handled. But no, they're charging assault charges on this guy in his 60s for assaulting a 16-year-old. Now, to me, the judicial system is completely and totally out of whack for doing stuff like this. And the AP Newswire for reporting on something like this kind of blows my mind also, because this guy, as far as I'm concerned, shouldn't have done that, but a simple apology should have been okay. But oh no, he's being charged now as a criminal for assault. Ridiculous as far as I'm concerned. What do you think, Austin?
Well, if I'm not mistaken, sexual assault on a minor would levy him as a child sex offender if he was actually tried for that and convicted, which is pretty ridiculous even further, because now if he tries to do anything, not to mention even just live a normal life, any place he goes, he would have to register as a sex offender and basically have his face and name and address registered online and couldn't go anywhere without notifying them as far as moving, because that's what the laws are essentially when you are a registered sex offender. And is what you just said, we got people all over the country that are involved in all types of weird underage stuff that shouldn't be involved at all, and a lot of times they get off with nothing simply because they're in Congress or they're upper ranking in different companies and stuff like that. And to me, it sounds like this is something they're trying to prove a point, make a point out with this guy. I'm pretty sure they should be able to get this dropped. I can't imagine any judge is going to rule on this as far as actually true sexual assault charges on that. But it is pretty odd. I mean, now, and what they're doing now, it's so weird because you see incidences like this, but then you see shows like, I told you guys the other day, that ridiculously almost pornographic pedophilia TV show, Big Mouth, that Netflix has put on there, where it's supposed to be an adult cartoon that goes through all types of sexual deviant behavior with minors, actually under the age of 13, and it's being raved as this super funny animated adult comedy, yet they're gearing it towards adults, yet it's underage minors involved in all types of weird behavior, and it's a cartoon, so it's supposed to be okay. So we have this line now that's being blurred, where we're trying to make it okay for people to be involved with young children, but then you see incidences like this where they're trying to make an example of him. Pretty odd. Also, too, in other news, this is something that didn't make really any mainstream news at all, but I wanted to touch base on it because, to me, it seems like it was very oddly timed, almost like this was another incident that was about to happen. A East Tennessee man on Tuesday is now facing multiple charges after he was pulled over with 1,000 rounds of ammunition, automatic weapons, and in his vehicle. He was pulled over for speeding by the Tennessee Sheriff's Department, 43-year-old Scott Edmonton of Johnson City. Deputies said they discovered his license was suspended when he was pulled over. While taking inventory of the vehicle, they discovered a .357 Magnum, a loaded .45 pistol, and a fully automatic converted AR-15-223 and a fully automatic converted .308 AR-10 and 1,000 rounds of ammunition with numerous magazines. Neither of the fully automatic rifles were registered or had serial numbers. The information does not specify if the serial numbers were scraped off or if they had none on the receivers. This is interesting to me because on the photos it looks like these are actually built receivers. They're not scraped off. Looks like they were virgin receivers essentially with no serial number on them. So he either built these or had somebody given them to him with no serial number. Given the attack that took place 2 days before this in Vegas, this is very oddly timed to me that this guy's running around with this. Now, it didn't say if he was involved in any illicit behavior as far as he was going to shoot somebody, but riding around with that level of arsenal with two fully automatic weapons is a bit suspicious, especially right after this Vegas incident. And to me, it seems, it's just speculation, that there's very strong possibility that there may be another attack after this next attack to make the American people so afraid to oppose private gun ownership, they're essentially willing to disarm themselves. I had a buddy ask me yesterday, he said, why do you think they targeted a country music concert like this? And I said, well, it's pretty simple. I said, A, they know most of the liberals, a lot of the Democrats, pretty much everybody involved on that side already opposes guns. They already want more gun laws. They already want to have guns restricted. However, on the opposite side of that, country music in general, Western country, Southern individuals across the board are usually pretty pro-gun. They like hunting. They like shooting. They like recreational sporting. They like military activity, especially when they enlist. And this, in my opinion, was done to further essentially scare that side of the population into thinking that they are not safe anywhere they go, that there's no place they can go that's safe from guns now, that essentially anybody could be in a hotel with machine guns and plans on mowing them down when they're at a country concert. And as I told you guys yesterday, this is all an agenda that they're starting to push now with the mainstream media to further take away our rights. We already have metal detectors at pretty much every single event, stadium, concert, movie theater, theme park, airport, mass transit, everything you can think of. I went in detail that yesterday. Now they're calling for metal detectors at hotels, casinos, and malls now because of this incident. This is not oddly timed at all. This is not coincidental at all. They've been working on this for a while, and an article that just came out today by the LA Times, that they interviewed Arthur B. Alpin, who is a retired Army Lieutenant Colonel and West Point graduate. They essentially tried to do this propaganda piece to further sensationalize this paddocked individual to make it seem that he was the main shooter, the only way this happened with him. The problem was in this article, if you read through it, you can actually see right through it because Arthur Albin, the retired Army lieutenant, essentially tells you that this wasn't plausible by the story that they're telling you, yet the LA Times posted it as kind of a hit piece to further increase the mainstream media. Here's part of the article. It says, Arthur Albin, the retired Army Lieutenant Colonel and West Point graduate who has a mechanical engineering degree and specializes in ballistics, has testified in many multiple shooting cases. He says on what we see right here, this is where he starts off, says, what we see so far about the Las Vegas shooter, Stephen Paddock, is he's a patient, well-trained gunner who did not pick and choose his targets but held to a steady kill zone centered in the middle of thousands of concertgoers. Well, first off, right there, as soon as you dissect this, wait a minute. This guy's a patient, well-trained gunner? How about this guy's a 64-year-old accountant that his brother said's never even been involved in guns before and has no background of any type of military or tactical training? That right there already throws this off. Then he goes on to say, he goes, you had a huge 400 to 500 football field length as far as in width distance from this whole concert arena. He was not aiming at an individual person. He was throwing bullets into a huge beaten zone. The term beaten zone is an infantry term shaped like the area in a searchlight cast across a flat surface. It represents the area where bullets can strike and move substantially with tiny changes in the tilt of the gun. He said if the shooter shifted by about 1 degree or the width of a finger held at arm's length, Albin said the beaten zone would fall outside of the crowd. That's all the distance you would have to move and you aren't hitting anybody. So he had to be pointing and aiming at the very center mass and then squeezing rounds off with the machine gun. He said from a perch 320 feet above the ground in a hotel whose base was about 1,050 feet from the concert, Paddock was firing down almost 1,100 foot of a right triangle and had to adjust his aim for the arc of the bullet over that distance and for bullet drop on top of that. He goes on to say, there was no way the shooter maintained such a steady kill zone by dumb luck. Steady nerves and planning of a machine gunner are the better explanation of this casualty rate. He said at least one of the 23 rapid-firing weapons authorities found in the room had a bipod stand to hold on it steady. Paddock also fitted the weapons with a device to make it cycle rounds more quickly. Hold on a second there now. Now they're referring to a bipod use in conjunction with the slide fire. Bipods are very difficult to use with slide fire. I have shot multiple slide fire weapons with this device they're talking about. Personally shot them. They are very, very hard to use and very hard to use accurately. The gun moves back and forth inside of the slide. So what you have to do is you have to hold the grip, keep your finger steady right above the trigger, push forward on the vertical grip, and allow the recoil of the rifle to bounce back into the stock and then bounce forward, squeezing the trigger, pulling forward with the vertical grip, and backing forth. What it essentially does is it rocks the gun back and forth inside of the bump fire stock, simulating machine gun fire. There is no change to trigger. There is nothing like that. So first off, he's saying that this guy, not trained at all essentially, is now a well-trained machine gunner using a slide fire stock from about 450 to 500 meters away from an elevated position and held aim on top of this and was managed to shoot all these individuals as Dad talked about yesterday, which would be very, very difficult. On top of that, you have to understand the difference between shooting a machine gun and a slide fire gun. When you're holding a machine gun, your sight picture, the scope or the red dot, doesn't normally move. The gun vibrates, the gun shakes. If you keep it tight, though, you can maintain your point of impact with the rifle. With a slide fire, the gun is shaking in front of you, rocking back and forth violently with the slide fire, meaning your sight picture, your scope, or your red dot is also, too, bouncing back and forth, meaning it's very difficult to aim. Most of the slide fires that I've shot, I can't hit a man-sized target much more than 50 yards away with a slide fire. And that's me training all the time. I've done it before. I can't keep rounds on the target for more than 3 to 5 round burst. This guy was pulling off a 100 round burst from 500 meters away from an elevated position with a slide fire stock, being a 64-year-old retired accountant. This doesn't add up to any of this to me, and even on top of that, this guy essentially had no background training. So, to me, the only thing that leads after I read this article where this retired lieutenant further further strengthens my argument with this. There were multiple shooters that were well-trained with multiple machine guns, and they had their firing timed down perfect to where one of them would shoot and another one would shoot and another one would shoot. The whole picture that they keep putting online with an AR-15 with a vertical grip with an EOTech and a slide fire stock on it is all to burn this into the brains of the civilian population into thinking anything that looks like an AR-15 is a deadly mass shooting weapon and needs to be banned essentially. Dianne Feinstein and all the liberals out in California are already pushing legislation now to completely ban all slide fires and any devices that allow for more rapid firing. That's the verbiage that they wrote in this that I read today. More rapid firing. That is so open-ended to me, it boggles my mind. That means they're going to say, well, a light, crisp, 3-pound competition trigger could enable you to shoot faster. That needs to be banned. Well, an EOTech red dot weapon sight, that's going to help you to have target acquisition faster. That needs to be banned. Vertical grip, that can control you too, so you can keep the muzzle down for rapid fire. That needs to be banned. This is what they're lining up for this guy. So this whole story, I'm fully convinced now. This guy is the only lone shooter with a slide fire rifle up in his room. Don't buy it at all anymore. I've been going back and forth on different options as far as what I've seen all week. That's pretty much my consensus on this. This guy was not the only shooter, if he even was the shooter. And this is a multiple team hit that they did to be able to take this many people out and wound this many people, Dad.
Well, multiple things I want to comment on. Number one, that was probably an FBI setup with the guy who had the automatic weapons with the numbers that weren't attached to the weapons. That sounds like an ATF running gold guns to Mexico kind of deal, because that's a very difficult lower to get that doesn't have any serial number on it unless you hand build it. Quite frankly, that would be very, very difficult to do unless you had a very good machine shop. Secondly, the FBI constantly sets people up with stuff like this. He could have been transporting the weapons because he had a buyer for them. Somebody could have used him as a mole, so to speak, and sorry, as a mule to move the weapons. He wasn't even aware of it. They were probably targeting his car. It may have had a tracker on it. They're going to pull in because, quite frankly, if you're 65 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour on the interstate, and you're doing 79 miles an hour, usually you don't get pulled. But he could have been doing 71 miles an hour. So they caught the tracker, pulled him over, and now they've got him. And so that makes news again that there's another person who's a potential mass shooter to reinforce the narrative. Because remember, this narrative now is 5-6 days old, and people are starting to have other alternative ideas of what happened. Now, to go back to your bump fire stock, the biggest problem with the bump fire stock that I've found, and you can tell me too, Austin, because you've used them also, is that they're designed to run, at a 90-degree angle, straight out. They're downfield, downrange. Your gun has to sit level because it has to rock on your shoulder. It's kind of like you're using your shoulder as a cradle. It pulls back and forth. When you drop the gun weapon, so you're firing at a 30-degree angle, which means you're actually pointing the gun down from a hotel room into a field, 1,100, 1,200, 1,400, quarter of a mile away, what ends up happening is the center of gravity, especially if you're running a 100-round drum, makes that gun extremely heavy on the front end. And it's going to pull down, and that bump fire stock will not work properly. It cannot, because it is a gravity weapon. It can't work like that. It's pulling down against your shoulder. And so it's not going to allow the recoil to take place. I still said on the first show on Monday that I feel as though this was an M60 machine gun with a belt fed. I believe it was on a roof somewhere. It could have been on a drone somewhere. I mean, I'm talking drone now. I'm talking up in the sky where nobody's looking. It could have been a weapons system from a drone that's flying over at a half mile up that's locking onto the crowd shooting down. We don't know what the heck this was. All I know is this. There was no smoke pouring out of that guy's room. Dave Hodges and I talked about this earlier today. There were two sets of windows broken on each side of the hotel. And they were asking why that could have happened. Well, logistically, what I would have done, if I would have wanted to have ventilation in the room, I would have opened up a window on both sides of the room if I was in a hotel that was hot. We stayed in a hotel a couple of years ago over in Hungary. You guys remember when I reported live from Hungary when we went over to Budapest, and we did the research on the immigration coming in, and we could only open up one window in the room. The room was like 95 degrees. It was a furnace. We couldn't get any cool air in it. The AC wasn't turned on, and we couldn't sleep. It was too hot. And one window open did absolutely nothing. The only way you can get air through a room that vacates smoke through a room is you have to have cross ventilation. That could have been the reason he broke the window out. That may have been why they decided to do it that way as far as breaking it out. Now, this whole thing is a giant pile of just methane is all, as far as I'm concerned. I mean, everything that they're telling us, the media is telling us, everybody's telling us, to me, is a complete and total lie. I told everybody on Monday, I'm going to say it again, if you said to me, this guy was never involved in the shooting and he was dead before the first shot was ever fired, and there was no shooting taking place from that room, and that entire room had been staged before this event took place, I would not be surprised. I still stand by that. I believe there were multiple positions, multiple shooters. Could have been a drone. It could have been from the top of another hotel. It could have been from the top of another grassy knoll somewhere like they had with Kennedy, where they had four or five different shooters with the Kennedy assassination. But they basically caught these guys in crossfires, as far as I'm concerned. And they basically lit that concert up with crossfire. And I personally, again, I'm going to say this. When I saw the videos of the hotel, I saw it looked like muzzle flash coming out of around the fourth or fifth story. I never saw one muzzle flash coming out of this guy's room. Nobody's talking about that. Plus, you can't do a bump fire stock in that kind of rapid succession and change all those magazines without, number one, getting the weapon extremely hot if you could do it with a fully automatic weapon. But remember, there weren't fully automatic weapons in that room. Fully automatic weapons have already been banned. You have to get a tax stamp for them. They have to be pre-86. So that's not a problem for the globalists. They want to get rid of the current weapons and the current inventory of weapons that are available to the American population. They want to reduce us to single-round rifles, bolt-action rifles that you have to load manually, because they know that you can't put cover fire down with a bolt-action rifle. It's impossible. And you can't defend yourself against a drone or whatever that's using fully automatic weapons. But with the prevalence of drones in our society, with the presence of drones with mercenary forces now who pay people to pay them the highest dollar, there's absolutely no reason. We have watched repeatedly in Afghanistan drones coming in and basically just strafing entire communities with machine gun fire. We've seen it over and over and over again. They don't even need manned aircraft to do that anymore. They can do it from a remote operation. They could have launched a stinking drone, had the whole thing coordinated, dumped thousands of rounds out, they could have used the type of weapon systems that capture the brass so you don't have the brass falling from the sky. There are all kinds of things that are plausible explanations rather than a lone, fat shooter in a room who's out of shape, who was an accountant, who blew his own face off. This whole thing reeks of conspiracy. It's complete and total nonsense, and quite frankly, it's all about the globalists coming in and trying to destroy our Constitution. Because remember, guys, I mentioned this on yesterday's show. They have stolen $21 trillion off books. They have taken. They can't justify where the money went. In international courts, we could go back and get that money back from them. They don't want to do that because we have legal avenues right now in our court systems to go in and force them to repay that money. They don't want that. They've extracted this wealth out of the United States and they don't want to pay it back. So they're doing everything they can to shred the Constitution so we don't have the legal rights to go in and do all of this. But guys, a lone shooter who's out of shape, who never had weapons training, who blew his own face off, who stood up in a room with no muzzle flashes, then they had a stand-down order for 72 to six over an hour while they were out there waiting. That stand-down order was to allow the other teams to be extracted. So they had all the police on those floors in that hotel making sure that the other teams could be extracted. There were multiple shootings, according to eyewitnesses, in multiple other hotel lobbies at the same time this guy was shooting. This is not a lone wolf guy. This is Antifa. Remember, the president of the Mandalay, the head guy who sold all of that stock, he's a huge Black Lives Matter, George Soros, Southern Poverty Law Center supporter. He's given money to the Southern Poverty Law Center. He's a huge, huge communist Democrat. He was a Republican. He's been turned. Otherwise, he would not be giving money to the Southern Poverty Law Center. Dave Hodges and I talked about this in depth this morning. This guy knew that was going to happen. That's why he dumped his stock. He probably also shorted the hotel stock, which we'll find out about later, I'm sure. And also that way he could figure he could make more money on the short. Because the hotel stock's only down 10 or 15%. It wouldn't have made that big a difference on a $10 million transaction. He'd have lost $1 million. He must have done a lot of shorting of the stock also. That way he could, you know, do $20 or $30 million in return. The whole thing about it is this. This is a major, major, fast and furious setup again. This is another one of these IRS gates. This is one of all of these things, which tells me that, again, Barack Obama wasn't involved in any of this crap either, because I know Trump's not involved in it, but that the deep state that is run by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, and this is why I do this all the time. Now, I'm the only show that does this. I don't know why, but I try to draw the circle. I try to make the circle complete with you guys, because this is Hegelian dialectic. That's what they've done here. Problem, action, solution. The problem is the Patriots are awake. The problem is the Patriots have guns. The problem is the Patriots have guns with 100-round magazines. The problem is the Patriots are pissed off, and they've had enough of what we're doing, and they're getting very vocal about it. That's the problem. The action is stage another false flag. That's the action. The solution will be more gun legislation to remove the Patriots' weapons so the Patriots can no longer defend themselves. The reason the Second Amendment was put into the Constitution had nothing to do with the safety of the individual from a home invasion, which was pretty much non-existent 200 years ago. It was to prevent the tyranny of a federal government like England to come back in and take everything away from the colonists under gunfire and under force. They wanted the right to defend themselves against a tyrannical government. That's why we have a Second Amendment. And people need to understand that. It has nothing to do with home invasions in 1776. It was the fact that they had to get out from underneath the British rule. The colonists weren't allowed to have guns. They tried to take all their weapons away. They were putting their troops, quartering them inside of their homes against their wishes. All of these things because King George considered himself to be a god, a king, and everybody else was a serf, a person who could basically be killed at will with no rights whatsoever. And when we declared our right to be away from England and we declared our independence, we made all of ourselves sovereigns. We made ourselves equal with King George. Well, this just really hair-lipped the entire globalist community. They couldn't believe we had actually done that. But the peasants and the serfs were saying, hey, now we're no longer going to be peasants and serfs. This goes all the way back down to the Magna Carta. I mean, all of this stuff we've got to understand is something these guys hate, because their master, Lucifer, who's running the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who are trying to connect us into a D-Wave Alpha computer, who are trying to tie us into a 5G global network control system with all the nanotags they've already put into us from all the chemtrails they've sprayed on us. All of this is to bring us into a new world order, a new world government, and a one world religion. That's what all of this stuff is, under Lucifer. And if you don't get that, you have to understand we've got to draw this circle. That's why when people say to me, well, I love your show, it's a great show, I love the nutrition stuff and I love the world news, but I don't like the religious stuff. Guys, you can't separate it. You have to understand this is who these guys are. These are satanic pedophiles. They drink human blood. They go to soul cooking parties. They have sex with rape little boys and kill them, little girls and kill them. This is what these people do to basically give this energy to their master Lucifer. This is basically them sacrificing children to Moloch or to Baal in the Old Testament. They never stopped doing that. They never stopped sacrificing children. It hasn't stopped. If you read through what happened with the children of Israel when they got out of Egypt, they started falling to all of these foreign gods, and then Solomon was one of the worst. My God, he set up temples to Baal and to Moloch and Asherah. He did all of this stuff for Satanism. Solomon completely lost his way because he married into all these women and had all these concubines, and they dragged him into the ditch with all their foreign gods. Read the Old Testament, it tells you that. He set up these temples to these foreign gods, and he started sacrificing to these gods, including children. That was King Solomon, the son of David. And see, we have to walk through the entire Old Testament and see, they never stopped sacrificing to Moloch or Baal. Guys, out of Bohemian Grove, we've got Moloch out there being represented by the 60-foot, 40-foot tall owl that these guys go and sacrifice a human being in effigy. We don't know if there's a real person in that doggone sheet that they line up there that's been muffled and been muted or been put under anesthesia. They're fixing to burn to their god out there. We don't know what it is. And then they put screams and cries through the doggone loudspeakers. What a bunch of sickos. That's who's running the planet. These guys suck. And all they want to do is serve their miserable master and resurrect their stupid serpent god out of the pit. You have to draw the line back to who they are and what they're doing. That's what all of this is about. We've got a problem in the United States for them, though. We're all well-armed, and now we've got alternative news that's got to be making them unbelievably mad. They can't hide this stuff from us anymore. And yet, they want to turn around, and the guy from the Dukes of Hazzard, because he touches a girl on her butt with a sheet of paper, he's being charged with sexual assault. Are you joking me? This is all obfuscation. This is all bread and circuses trying to not make us pay attention. I personally believe the guy carrying the weapons was set up, and he was a patsy, and he was another stooge, just like this guy was in his hotel room in Vegas. I still stand on this, that I would not be surprised if that guy never fired a single round. And I would not be surprised if drones weren't involved in all of this. Because, guys, they've already got these drones dispatched all over the planet. But they kill people constantly with drones. How do we know this wasn't an entire exercise by a bunch of trained mercenaries from rooftops and with drones? And the reason they had the stand down order was to clear all of their teams out soon before they started breaching the building, so they couldn't justify, hey, the guy's dead now. He's been dead for an hour. Why do we still have gunfire? We've got to clear all the teams back in. That's my analogy, Austin. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, some pretty valid points, especially about the whole aspect of the slide fire from the beginning, from shooting in a downward angle. I didn't even think about that until you mentioned it, but yes, when you normally shoot the slide fire, to pretty much get it to work correctly, you have to have it on a vertical plane. I mean, it has to be flat to be able to rock back and forth the recoil.
That's
you have a
right.
magazine with the weapon facing down, you're fighting recoil, meaning the weapon's not going to recoil correctly back
cycle.
Into the stock and bounce back and forth. Yeah, you're going to be fighting it, essentially, to try and get it to work right. Secondly, if you listen to a lot of the videos back and forth from where everybody's at, you can hear almost different cyclical rates, which is the rate of fire that's being shot, different calibers in some areas. Now, I understand that echoes could have been playing a role. I was in there. I didn't hear it, but I've seen multiple videos where it looks like there's a flash coming from the 13th story. There's a flash coming from the 4th story. And as we said, I didn't see a single video that showed a flash coming from anywhere from that corner on the 32nd floor, which, by the way, that was the closest room, essentially. That corner of the hotel was the closest room to the concert, which means you would see a flash coming from a dark room. A lot of people keep using the analogy of flash hiders. I've heard people bring that up. Flash hiders do not work on machine guns to any significant degree. You
nope.
may be able to tone it down if you have a very long barrel with a very effective flash hider on it. But again, after about 30, 40 rounds, all that extra gas pressure, all that extra powder that's being ignited, it's almost impossible for a flash hider to actually hide the flash. I've heard people bring that up on there. That's why you saw flashes from multiple angles, from the 10th story, from the 4th story, reports from that all the time. You cannot operate a machine gun for any long amount of bursts like that and keep the flash completely blacked out. I don't care what equipment you're running. You can ask anybody that's operated machine guns. It's impossible. It doesn't work. So that's what kind of threw me off, too, when I saw some of the videos. I'm like, this guy's sitting there laying down a 100-round burst with a AR-15 from the 32nd floor, yet not one single video do you see any flash coming
nope.
out of that room whatsoever.
Nope.
Is it possible they were still shooting in that room from back inside the room very, very far with an incredibly good flash hider? Could that have been going on?
Nope.
Yes, it's possible somebody could have been doing that. But to me, the way I heard different guns going off at different times, I think that's pretty accurate about it. It could have been a drone, or I think it was multiple placed mercenaries. Boom, boom, boom. Everybody had specific places they were shooting from. Everybody had their turn, their line, because you got to think about it. Anybody that's in infantry, you can ask them. When you're a machine gunner and you're shooting from a fixed position, your position eventually gets found out, even if you're concealed. You cannot shoot from a machine gun nest for an extended period of time and have nobody figure out where you're shooting from. That's why most of the times when you have snipers, when they're shooting, they shoot from concealed areas, one shot, and they move. They go to another position, shoot one shot, then they move, if they have the ability to do so. The same thing with military transitions. When one's shooting, another one's moving. You rarely sit there unless you're holding a defensive position from an aggressive target that's pushing towards you. Do you sit in one machine gun nest and just unload 100 round belts, because they know where you're at. They're eventually going to lob a grenade, or they're going to shoot a 40 millimeter in your nest, and you're going to be done. This guy supposedly ran through over 1,000 rounds of ammunition in 10 minutes. Yeah, to a crowd that was 1,200 feet away from him, and not once did anybody ever figure out that's where it was coming from, and supposedly a cop called in after like 4 or 5 minutes that it was coming from the 32nd floor. That's supposedly what happened on there, yet we don't see a single video that shows any flashing coming from that story, and nobody else is wanting to address why we saw flash coming from multiple other windows in the hotel. I don't know.
Okay.
It's fishy. It doesn't add up to me at all, man.
Okay, first of all, let's draw a line. Okay, let's pull a string for 1,500 feet from the end of the muzzle to the impact position on the carpet on the parking lot or the grass, wherever the people were. Okay? It has to be a straight line trajectory. Number one, if you move back into the room 15, 20 feet to fire so they couldn't see your flash, You can't see the crowd anymore. It goes away. You can't draw a straight line. The bullets don't arc. They don't do that. So you have to be close to the window to be able to drop the trajectory down, because the further you move away from the window, you no longer have a straight line for the bullet to go until you hit the bottom of the window casing. So you can't be 100 feet back or 40 feet back or 30 feet back or probably even 20 feet back. You maybe you'll get 5 feet back and still see the target, but you're going to see the flash from the window. And I have a flash suppressor on the 308. It came with it. It's an FNN. And it's a great weapon. I mean, it's great. 100 yards on the gun, semi-auto, 308. You can get a 1-inch spread, you know, on the target at 100 yards. I mean, it's unbelievable how accurate this gun is. The flash suppressor, it doesn't do much at night. You can still see the flash coming out of the end of it. Now, it helps a little bit. It's kind of like this. If you take a Barrett full-blown 50 caliber weapon, you know, semi-automatic, 10-round magazine, and you shoot it, you could stand up, and I've done this, so is Austin. I have stood up, and I have shoulder-fired a 50 caliber Barrett. I've done that. I've been on the range with them. You can rent them at the range, and you stand there, and you put the bipods down, and you can shoot it. Incredibly accurate, up to 1,000 yards. Incredible weapon. Here's the problem with the Barrett and all the rest of them. They sell silencers for them, which is like a flash suppressor, and it's supposed to help make them quieter. It doesn't work on a Barrett. They're too stinking loud. The same thing that Austin's saying about it. You're running an M60 machine gun with a flash suppressor. No, man, it gets too hot, and the bullets, the flames are still going to come back out. Now, it'll help mute them initially, first 30 or 40 rounds. I still think we had other elevated positions all over Vegas that were being used with snipers, and I will not rule out the possibility of a drone shooting down from a half mile up, from 2,000 feet up, shooting straight down into the crowd. I would not rule out at all that there was a drone present. Because, guys, they use drones all the time. We got to think outside of the box here. We've got to think through this. How do we know a drone wasn't used? Nobody's looking up into a black sky with a black drone. Nobody's seeing anything like that. Nobody's doing anything like that. So we have no idea what's going on, where the fire is coming from. And quite frankly, guys, this whole thing reeks of hogwash. Now,
yeah,
let me change the subject. This national anthem thing, the biggest person in the national anthem, in the NFL as far as advertisers, is Busch Budweiser Beer, the NFL's largest sponsor. And they want your opinion because they're getting so much blowback. Their lives will be melted down about this. I called up these guys today. Here's the phone number, 1-800-342-5283. I'm going to repeat that, 800-342-5283, or it's 1-800-DIAL-BUD, that's 1-800-DIAL-BUD, it's the same number, and they want your opinion. Press 1 when the recorder comes on, and they'll tell you. Here's what they say. At Anheuser-Busch, we have a long heritage supporting the National Armed Forces, veterans, and military dependents. The national anthem is a point of pride for our company and for the 1,100 veterans that we employ. Please feel free to share your feedback after the tone. Beep! You get a tone. And I gave them an earful. I told them that spending $1.5 billion with the NFL to pay a bunch of overpaid sissies to basically insult our country and our military is a complete and total joke, and that I was no longer, which I don't do anyhow, but I didn't tell them this, ever going to buy Bud beer. And so that's how I had to handle this. I mean, I guess there could be some day in my future that I might buy Bud beer with one of my friends from Germany or whatever. So, but the thing is, guys, you've got to tell these guys, if you hit the sponsors on the NFL and you tell them this is not okay, they're going to know it's not okay. And by the way, have you noticed that the NFL controversy with these guys has pretty much been swept under the rug because we've got another crisis? Everything that's happening, including Hugh Hefner dying, being under investigation for pedophilia, and supplying young children and young girls to the Hollywood elite, all of those investigations and all the stuff that hit the media, all this happened at once. I mean, all of this stuff is used to obfuscate what's going on with the petrodollar, what's going on with Korea, what's going on with China, what's going on with, you know, with Russia, all of this stuff. There's something else they're trying to cover up because this is too big of a deal and it's covered too much media time to not be trying to hide something else that's happening. So, guys, stay frosty. Keep on the lookout because there's something else they're trying to hide that's going on right now, Austin.
Very much so. And I got an article today from GunsAmerica.com. I want to touch base on it real quick because it's a pretty good article for everybody, especially when you're traveling. It was labeled as the top five security measures to take while traveling unarmed. So a lot of times, you know, for business, for pleasure, wherever you're going, you can't necessarily carry a pistol with you. They're trying to make it harder and harder. So this is the top five tips, and I thought I'd run over them real quick. It said, when traveling without a gun or knife, it's always good to still carry a tactical pen and a mini flashlight. Tactical pens are the ones that you can usually use as a tool. Sometimes it'll have a screwdriver in it as well. You can use it as a regular writing pen. A lot of times there's no issues getting them through TSA or anything like that because they're not banned. Also, too, a flashlight. I always have a flashlight in my vehicle, in my truck, in my bug-out bag. Anytime I go, I always keep at least one or two flashlights. The reason why is you never know when you're going to be in a position where maybe the power goes out or you have to go and hide behind cover like in this situation or go get behind something and you can't see. Flashlights are always a good thing to have. Secondly, maintain a high level of situational awareness. This is free. Need to be awake of what's going on. It's easy when you travel business or pleasure to get focused on point A to point B and not realize what's going on. Always keep your eyes open and aware of what, who is around you. Even if a threat comes at you, if you're aware, you'll have the potentially to respond appropriately. Make sure your situational awareness is up when you're at a destination as well. In a restaurant, sit at a table that gives you the view of the door and other patrons. In a parking lot, look around your car before getting in. It's not called paranoia, this is called preparedness. And one other thing I'll add to this, if you have the ability to do so, when you go to a restaurant, when you sit down, when you do something, I always recommend if you have the ability to do so, if it's not packed, try to sit where the back is towards you, the wall's towards you, your back's against the wall. That sounds funny sometimes, but it gives you more of a wider viewpoint of what's going on.
Right.
If somebody walks in, if a situation's about to occur, nobody can sneak up behind you, sucker punch you, and then walk off and do whatever else they're going to do. I never like having my back exposed. Like you see a lot of times people go to the bar. They sit at the bar. They're sitting on the bar stool. Dude, somebody come up behind you by a shirt collar and yoke you off the bar stool, and you will literally have no idea it even happened. So be aware of that. Situational awareness is perfect. Carry money and important documents on your person. Always keep your wallet and any documents you have in a good, secure location. They make some that actually you can put a little pouch on that goes underneath your belt. Those are kind of silly-looking. People make fun of you before you put them on. But once you put it on, nobody can see it, and it's a very good thing to have. And always be aware. Don't keep your wallet, your passport, or anything like that in your back pocket. Way too easy to get pickpocketed. If you have something in your backpack, which I don't usually recommend, I like it on your person. Make sure it's not in the outside zipper. You have to be very careful in carrying a backpack in public because people can walk up behind you, even a drag-along suitcase, one of the rollers. They can walk up behind you, unzip it very slowly, and a lot of times, because you're traveling, people keep their passports, boarding passes, IDs, all that stuff in the outside pockets furthest away from them, so when they flip their backpack around, it's easy to unzip and pull it out. Be very careful. Do not do that because it's easy for people to pickpocket you, unzip it, and take your stuff. Also, to have an escape plan. That's number four. Say these days, virtually every building you enter has posted escape routes in multiple locations, and that's the truth. There's usually exit signs. There's things on the wall in case of a fire. Be aware. You don't have to be paranoid, walk in and be like, where's your escape route? I need to know right now before I sit down to eat. You don't have to be weird about it, but you need to know what's going on, especially in hotels as well. Take note of where the stairs are. Actually get to take the stairs at least once during your stay to understand how the routes and the doors work. Plus, I'm not a big fan of elevators. Dad had that experience over there in Greece. Elevator froze up and then dropped like five stories. Nobody was hurt, thank goodness. But elevators are sketchy to me, man. Bad position to be in. If you get stuck in one, it's rough. And not to mention, they don't work usually if the power's shut down or if there's a fire. So walking also, too, be aware of exits if you're walking in unfamiliar areas. If you're downtown, if you're going down the sidewalk, if you have to be able to go to a side street, if you have to go down an alley, if you have to cut through a building, it's hard sometimes in big cities because you've never been to them before, but get a map. And that way you have a general understanding of where you need to go in a situation. And also, number five, this is anytime you're traveling in your vehicle, even locally, lock your doors. Rental cars or hotel rooms are fast. As soon as you get in the vehicle, lock the door. In your personal vehicle, lock the door. A lot of times, don't even wait for the doors to lock automatically. I've seen so many videos of carjackings where people will get in their vehicle, they're literally about to pull away, somebody runs up, grabs their door handle, rips the door open, grabs them, pulls them out of the car, jumps in, hits the gas, car never even leaves drive. That's so easy to do if you're a carjacker. Do not be in that position. As soon as you get in the vehicle, lock your doors. I'm always a big proponent of that all the time. The same thing with a hotel room. A lot of times when you get in a hotel room, you go in, the door may be propped open, you're doing stuff, the door's not locked all the way. Anybody that can come in behind you is either the key or just push the door open. Make sure when you go in your hotel room, you know your surroundings when you go in. I always lock the deadbolt and the secondary bracket that locks over like they usually have to prevent somebody from pushing the door in, even if they have a key. If somebody really wants to breach the door and they have a battering ram, they're going to get in anyways, but you're going to darn well know they're about to. It even says in this article, for more added security, you can carry a door stopper audible alarm. This unit attaches to the door or jams under it and sounds a very loud alarm if the door opens up at all. That's pretty effective, but again, that's pretty paranoid to an extent unless you're in an area that you're really, really concerned about. I wouldn't recommend having to bring one of those with you everywhere you go, but if you are concerned and you are going to be staying in hotels that you're not comfortable with or you're not 100% sure about, that's something you can throw in your bag. They're like 10 bucks on eBay. They literally jam under the door like a doorstop, and what happens is as soon as it moves, the alarm goes off on it. So if somebody even wiggles your door handle or pushes on it at all, it sets off the motion detector on it. But those are the top five things in this article it went over. It's just some things you can do even if you're unarmed. And just beware, if you're going into a facility or a vicinity or a stadium and you're going through metal detectors and you're going to have to be disarmed and you know everybody else is going to be disarmed, that's also, in my opinion, one of the most important times to have extremely strong situational awareness. Remember, guys, almost every single big mass shooting we keep seeing is always in a gun-free zone. The Aurora, Colorado movie theater was a gun-free zone. The Sandy Hook fake shooting, if you guys can believe that whole story, that was a school, so you couldn't even carry a gun in there. The same thing with Columbine, that was a school. The same thing with the Pulse nightclub shooting, that was a bar, you couldn't carry a firearm in there. The shooting that just happened, this concert, there were metal detectors, you couldn't carry a firearm in there. Almost every time this happens, you guys always notice it's to an unarmed population that cannot legally carry a weapon in there. So just be aware, if you're going into something like that, a sporting event, a theme park, a concert, and you cannot carry a firearm, there's a much, much higher probability if something were to occur, it would occur at an event or a venue like that. Rarely have I ever seen any mass shootings be effective inside of a zone where people are knowingly carrying concealed weapon permits. It doesn't usually happen because they know there's going to be too much blowback, and more than likely you're going to get shot because it's not fun to shoot at people when they're shooting back at you, Dad.
That's why there are never any mass casualties or shootings in gun shows. That happen. I mean, all the vendors are armed and they all have sidearms. I mean, nothing happens there. Nobody gets shot. Nobody pulls a gun on anybody. Nobody's stupid enough to try something like that in a gun show. So one of the safest places to be if you don't want to be in the middle of a mass shooting is the gun zone or in a gun show. Now, a couple things you said. Situational awareness. I remember I was in Buenos Aires a few years ago. We were changing some U.S. dollars out for some, you know, from some money, for some Argentina money. And what was interesting about this is they tried to take me. I had a guy on the street approach me, want to change out money for me. They want me to go down a deep stairwell back at the back of the building. And I looked at the guy. Since I saw the stairs and you could go down, you couldn't see the other end. I said, "Dude, pound salt, not going with you. Not going to care. Wait for somebody to change the money on the street. Not going anywhere with you into a back alley." That's number one. Number two, get some Glock stickers. Call up Glock. Go on their website. They're little round 4-inch stickers. I've told you this, guys, before. And get them for your automobiles and for your cars. And put them on your driver's side, the passenger side, and the rear of the vehicle. And it has a picture, a profile of a Glock semi-automatic pistol on this sticker. Very, very visible, 4 inches. And anybody who wants to carjack you is going to see that. And they're going to think, "I'll just wait for the next car because these people are probably armed." It's a great deterrent even if you don't carry a weapon because it makes people think before they try to jump into your car. And Austin's absolutely right about having your back to the wall if you go into a restaurant or anywhere, because if a shooter comes in, you need to see what's going on so you don't get sucker punched. I've been sucker punched before when I was working as a bouncer in a bar when I was 18 years old. And I remember one time Austin, before he got saved, he was in a bar and some kid named New York, some big black kid, walked up behind a white boy and hit him so hard behind the head, almost killed him. Then started beating him on the ground. And Austin jumped in. You're Austin, who's on the show with me right now, jumped in, grabbed the big guy, the black guy from behind, and choked him out, saved the kid's life. So be very careful to avoid places like bars and nightclubs, places where people get shot and beat up and get killed. If you know a place has got a bad reputation, simply don't go. Always make sure you carry a weapon where you can carry a weapon legally. It's very, very important that you always stay frosty and you always stay armed and you always do it in a respectful manner and never brandish a weapon unless you feel as though you're fixing to get into a firefight. Don't pull your gun out and start waving it and doing crazy things because you will be locked up. Don't do that. Now, by the way, radical Marxists are leading the criminal justice reform movement. This is what I talked to you about last week. Instead of getting rid of the drug war and mandatory minimum sentences for small crimes, the current criminal justice reform movement is a radical leftist campaign. It is led by Angela Davis, an old former leader of the Communist Party of the USA with links to the Black Panthers. They want to abolish prison and free all prisoners, not because they are unjustly imprisoned, but because they want these violent people in our society to join their communist revolutions. Senator Rand Paul and Kamala Harris are lobbying to get rid of the cash bail system so those arrested and charged with crimes can be released back on the streets pending trial. Guys, it's really, really important that we understand that the communists who did the revolution in Russia, the same guys were funded by the Sabbatean Kabbalists, the same guys who did the Balfour Declaration. These are the same guys who did the Treaty of Versailles. These are the same guys that caused the Weimar Republic with hyperinflation. These are the same guys that overtook the German stock market in the early 20s. The same guys that are doing it to us right now. They want the republic to collapse because they don't want to be caught for what they've done. And it's very important that we all stay frosty and we understand this. By the way, the people right now in England are facing up to 15 years in prison for viewing what the government is deeming far-right propaganda. So if you watch something that you think is far-right, you go to prison for 15 years. Now, the problem is they don't tell you what far-right propaganda is, and this government, this tyranny of a monarchy, determines what the far-right propaganda is. So they may set you up and send you a link to watch, thinking that you're going to watch it and then come and arrest you because you're now watching far-right propaganda in their opinion. Yep. Now, my problem with all of that, Austin, is they determine what the far-right propaganda is, and they never let us know what it is until it's a little bit too late. One more article here, I'll let you take over, Austin. This is William Engel, he's a doctor, explains the Rockefeller origins of GMOs and their role in population reduction. This is a really interesting video. You've got to watch it. It's called The Hidden Agenda of Genetic Manipulation by William Engel. Author and researcher Engel describes how the Rockefeller family funded molecular biology to create new species. He says the so-called Green Revolution was developed at the Harvard Business School in the 1950s with the Rockefeller funding. The goal was to replace small independent farms with large corporate farms producing single crops. The Rockefellers and the Rothschilds are involved in this primarily because of their fascination with eugenics, which is the science of population control through selective breeding, sterilization, and reduction of fertility rates. Now remember, the Rockefellers were funded by the Rothschilds. Always remember the cutout here. They have cutouts. Right now they're saying, some people are saying that George Soros is dead. Remember, Osama bin Laden was dead for almost 10 years before they had the little fake SEAL raid to kill Osama bin Laden. They will use George Soros and keep him out of the public eye or use a double, body double for him for as long as they want. As long as you're not going to be up close to him talking, you won't know the difference. These guys are nefarious for those types of activities as far as using body doubles. J.P. Morgan was used by the Rockefeller, by the Rothschilds to basically bring us the entire Federal Reserve System. And then later it found that they were the ones bankrolling him. These are the same guys who control the money supply in almost every single country in the world, and they control politicians. What they do, though, is they don't want their name, the Rothschilds, brought up into these different circles of things they're involved with because they don't want you getting mad someday and we the people going in and trying these people and putting them on trial for all the horrible crimes they've committed. Guys, tonight I'm going to be on with Hagman and Hagman for 2 hours. Austin will be on for 30 minutes. Sharon will be on for 30 minutes. Sharon's going to be doing a show, how to raise how to raise a child in a snowflake world. You're going to love her 30 minutes tonight. I'm sure Austin will be covering more about what happened in Vegas tonight or whatever he wants to talk about. And I'll be covering other topics, including Monsanto. Monsanto is now being busted in the EU for putting in false documentation about glyphosate causing non-Hodgkin's lymphoma and cancer rates. They're finally getting busted in the EU for this. We'll see if their lobbying efforts and their paying off of politicians will again pay off for these guys to prevent them from losing their flagship product, glyphosate, from being utilized and used in the European Union. Guys, thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for listening to the show. This has been a week of just up and down, crazy news-breaking stories and cycles. Thank you for praying for us. Thank you again for getting your supplements and nutritional stuff from us. We produce the highest quality nutritional products in the world. You guys know that. Those of you who take them know that. And I want to thank you. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you. I appreciate you. Awesome. I'll do the write-up, and I'll talk to you guys tonight on Hagmann, and I'll talk to you again on Monday on this show. God bless. Austin, it's yours.
Absolutely, bud. One last thing for today is this is news that came through now. The Trump administration is now rolling back the Obama-era birth control mandate. The new regulations will take effect immediately. It will essentially widen the pool of those shielded to include nonprofits, for-profit, and other non-governmental employees, schools, and universities if they refuse to provide contraceptive coverage, like the incident happened with Hobby Lobby years ago under Obama. I said no American should be forced to violate his or her own conscience in order to abide by the laws and regulations governing our health care system. Today's actions affirm that Trump administration's commitment to upholding the freedoms afforded all Americans under our Constitution. And I'm happy about this. You know, I've seen a lot of arguments on both sides. The thing that I'm never a proponent of is forcing anybody to do anything against their will. And when you start saying, well, it doesn't matter who you are, what business you run, you have to provide free birth control for your employees, I don't like that at all. One of the individuals from ACLU said, no woman should ever be denied health care because her employer or university's religious views are prioritized over her medical needs. Well, I say also, too, the complete opposite. No employer should be having to forcibly pay for his employees' health care because it suits their needs. It violates our rights from the beginning. Our rights supersede your rights of wanting health care and demanding something for free. So I'm really glad they rolled this back. This is not something I ever agreed with at all from the beginning. But guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for the support. Thank you for all the emails. Healthmasters.com. Go on the website. Check us out if you need anything. We appreciate all the support from our customers buying your multiples from us, buying your B-complex from us. Really helps subsidize this show since we don't have any type of sponsorships or ads whatsoever. If you notice, it's 57 minutes of news the entire time, no breaks at all. So check the website out at healthmasters.com. Magnesium Brain Foods on sales, product of the week. I'm going to close up the office here in a little bit and get ready for the show tonight with Dad. So you guys have an awesome night. We'll talk to you in a couple hours. And after that, you have a blessed, safe weekend. And we'll be back on this show here Monday afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You guys have an awesome night.